Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. Got a very special show for you this week with a very, very, very special guest that we're going to bring on later. Before we get going, I want to thank our food sponsors tonight: Twin Peaks Restaurant on Western Boulevard, GM Kim Mitchell, and thanks for the wings and the cheese bites and the what else do we have? Tortilla chips and
queso
and queso dip and stuff like that. And also thanks Bob Mills, Mr. Bishi, and Bobby Mills and Nick Kraft. They actually made some steak for dinner tonight as well, so that's pretty awesome. It looks like we're going to have a special guest more often so we get fed steak.
Oh, yeah.
Matt asked Slapper Cross, don't get me wrong, pizza's good, but damn, man, if we can get steak, then that'd be awesome. So, Trevor, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. On this date in sports, April 15th, we actually have a couple of serious things today. 1947, Jackie Robinson becomes the first African-American to play in the major leagues with the Dodgers. Actually in Brooklyn at the time. Huh. 1991, Magic Johnson sets the NBA record for career assist with 9,889. Of course, he was playing for the LA Lakers.
Right.
And a very serious note here, 2013, this was the day of the Boston Marathon bombing. It killed three people and injured 883 after two explosions near the finish line. So pretty serious event, obviously, that day. And now we got a bunch of, evidently very seriously, because we got texts coming in and we got phones going off in the background. I guess people wanting to talk to, you know, to talk about those
events.
They want
to call in.
They want to call in already, but let me remind y'all, this is not a call-in show yet. So, all right, we're going to get right at it. Trevor, NBA, the playoffs start this weekend. They're going on now, and now the real season begins. So, let's talk about predictions, and we're going to talk about best first-round matchups and potential upsets. So, I'm going to go through this list. Raptors and Wizards. Toronto leads the series 1-0. Did you watch it?
I watched. I think it's going to be a lot closer to the Wizards. I think they're going to come back and win, honestly.
I think so, too. Celtics-Bucks, great freaking game. The Greek freak,
yeah,
man.
That was awesome.
That was an awesome game, man.
But they don't even have Kyrie in there.
I mean, you got to play the cards you damn dealt, though.
I know.
I mean, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks doesn't have probably have somebody that we don't know about, but I mean they're playing the cards that they're dealt. I mean, that's going to be the best series, I think.
How scary would they be if they had?
If they had,
I watched them play live, the Hornets
and your man.
Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, your man. All right, the Sixers versus the Heat. Philly leads 1-0. That was a blowout.
If that Kelly Olynyk guy is their leading scorer, the Heat are in big trouble.
Big trouble. The Sixers look good though, man. They're young. I just don't know as they progress if they're going to be able to.
You know, JJ Redick, 28 points.
University of New Jersey.
University of New Jersey, right. 28 points.
Big upset: Cavs and Pacers. Wow. All I can say is wow.
That was awesome. That's going to be a great series all the way.
I think so too.
I
think LeBron. As we get in, we'll see. I've got a question as we go through this after this about players that need to step up. So. Rockets and Timberwolves, that's coming on later tonight before or after the broadcast.
Right.
I think the Rockets will finish off the make quick work of the Timberwolves.
Shouldn't be much.
Warriors or Spurs, Golden State, 1-0 blowout.
Yeah, without Kawhi Leonard,
yeah,
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and I actually will reference that later in my dud of the week.
Duds.
Yeah, my dud of the week. Blazers and Pelicans, New Orleans upset the Blazers 1-0, the only home team so far that hasn't held court and won are the Blazers. AD went off.
Who's going to guard him?
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah,
and even if somebody's out there, they're still not going to guard him.
Not on the Blazers.
No. And as we are recording this podcast, OKC versus Utah. The score currently is Utah 28, OKC 31. So that game is going on as we are talking right now. So who are you looking for to step up in the playoffs? So give me a couple names of individual players that you're looking to step up in the playoffs.
Victor Oladipo.
He stepped up today.
I was going to say, he's going to be one of them.
Yeah. Who else? What do you think about James Harden?
I think he'll just keep rolling.
Well, you know, everybody remembers James Harden. Obviously, great player during the season.
Mm-hmm.
He laid a dud when he played for OKC in the finals. The seventh game, he really didn't have a good series in the NBA championship. I think it was against the Heat.
Right.
So I think Harden's got a little bit to prove. I mean, yeah, you can do it over 82 games where it really doesn't matter. I don't say it doesn't matter if you win or lose during that 82 games. You obviously have to win enough to make the playoffs.
Having Chris Paul helps.
Yeah, having Chris Paul helps a little bit.
Yeah. But he does have something to prove.
He does have something to prove. I've got Kevin Love on here. I think Kevin Love needs to step up. He had a decent game today. I think he had 17 boards. I think I heard that. So that's pretty good. Of course, I have Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis went for 35 and 14 yesterday.
Rondo had 17 assists.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He had 17 assists versus the Warriors, too, when they won. D'd up. KD stole the ball from last play of the game.
Wow. So the last two that I have are the other two from OKC, Carmelo and Paul George. Russ is going to get his.
Yeah.
Russ is going to get his, but Carmelo and I just lost his name, Paul George.
Yeah.
They got to do something. For OKC to advance and make a run, the other two have to do something.
Well, that's what they brought him in for, someone to help Westbrook out, and we'll see if they do.
We'll see what happens. Currently, there are three head coaching vacancies in the NBA. Our Hornets and Dwight Howard's team, your team.
That's not my team.
The Hornets, the New York Knicks, and the Orlando Magic. Out of those three jobs, which one would you leave Living Water Christian Academy to go coach?
I take the Hornets, and I get rid of Dwight first thing I do.
Would you? Oh. You would trade him before you ever came in?
I'd just cut him.
So yeah. You take the salary cap hit?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
I'd rather rebuild with somebody else.
Okay.
But I'd rather see Stackhouse over me get in there.
Interesting. Also, the Suns have an interim head coach. I don't know if you saw this. So the Suns have not, I guess, ruled out this interim head coach yet, but yet they have asked the Atlanta Hawks permission to talk to the Atlanta Hawks current head coach. I don't know the guy. He's got some weird name. But anyway, so they've asked. So they still have an interim head coach. He's mm-hmm. still listed as the interim head coach, but yet they asked the Atlanta Hawks, could they talk to their head coach to take the possible job? So on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the interim head coach, his likelihood is of being the head coach of the Suns?
Yes. Well, it don't sound good if they're interviewing everywhere else.
So anyway.
They're scrambling.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, moving on to college basketball. I have some corrections from last week. Literally 30 minutes after we got – literally 10 minutes after we got done.
Yeah.
So we were discussing the schools with three or more men's titles since 1985, which, of course, those schools are Duke, Kentucky, UConn, Villanova, and UNC. And I screwed up there. I said Duke. I'm going to refer to them at any point in time as the University of New Jersey. So the University of New Jersey, Kentucky, UConn, Villanova, and UNC all had three or more wins, with Villanova winning the national championship. Then I expanded it to say, let's go back to 1980. And I said that four national championships, and I claimed there was only one, and I was wrong.
That's all right.
So since 1980, three teams have actually won four championships, but only two actually have won five championships. So UConn has won four national championships, 99, 04, 11, and 14. The University of New Jersey has won five, 91 and 92, 01, 10, and 15. And, of course, your and my UNC Tar Heels, 82, 93, 05, 09, and 17. Now, this is the interesting thing that when I was doing this research. All time, you know who leads all time men's basketball, right?
UCLA
with 11. And then University of Kentucky with 8. Carolina 6. Technically, they're not counting the one that we won, like back in 1927 or whatever, or in the 20s. The University of New Jersey has won 5. Indiana has won 5. And Kansas has won 4. Now, this is the interesting part. UCLA, their last title, 1995.
Yeah, but didn't they have Bill Walton?
Well, they had Bill Walton during the 70s. They won, I think it was 6 or 7 in a row, wasn't it? Yeah, they won a ton in a row.
Right.
But my point being is, let's keep going. University of Kentucky, their last title was 2012. That's 6 years ago.
Right.
Okay. How many one and dones has Coach Cal had since that time?
I mean, a handful, easy. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. Kansas, their last title was 08. 2018 now. That's 10 years ago.
Right.
The one that gets me, though, is Indiana. Their last title, 87. That is 31 years ago. Everybody talks about Indiana being a basketball school. Indiana's not a basketball school. They're a Bobby Knight school. Indiana has been irrelevant in basketball, literally, since Bobby Knight left Indiana University.
Since I've been alive.
Since you've been alive, basically. Yeah. They are basically irrelevant. So as much as it painstakes me to say this, people can talk about schools coming and going. But honestly, man, there's only two schools to play basketball. The University of New Jersey and UNC.
Gotta build a program.
That's not being 10-year wonders over a 10-year period doing well. That's right. Sustainability over a long period of time. Other college basketball news. Nova's duo of Jalen Brunson and Mikael Bridges declared to go in the draft. And big man, Mo Wagner from Michigan.
Wagner.
Declares for the draft. So what are your thoughts on these guys?
I think Brunson will be a system guy. He's not going to get you points. Like, he's not going to be your Russell Westbrook. He's not going to get a triple-double. He could be your system point guard, but he's not going to get to the basket.
Yeah, it surprises me that he's going pro. I mean, I think he's one of those type that's going to be he was a great college player. I just don't know that he's going to be a great.
I don't know that he even get drafted.
They've got him right now projected as a late first-rounder. They've got him projected as a late first-rounder. Mikael Bridges, they've got him projected into the top 10 and actually going to Philly, where obviously Villanova is, and then they got Mo Wagner as projected as a late first rounder.
I think Bridges will be better than Brunson if Brunson even gets drafted, but I think Wagner, if he can get a little mid range jumper, his footwork's already pretty good.
Yeah, he's not bad. I mean, he's a European player. He's a poor man's Dirk.
So he learned how to play basketball when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he knows how to dribble, shoot, everything.
Poor man's Dirk. So yeah. Excuse me. Anyway, let's move on to football. And guys, just listeners, I'm buzzing through this because I can't wait to get to our special guest because he likes to talk almost as much as I do. So I'm going to try to give him as much time as I can. All right, football, NFL notes. I'm going to just kind of list these things you comment on as you want to. Dez Bryant released by the Cowboys.
I think he's going to try to transfer in the division.
I think so, too.
That's his goal, anyway.
He wants to stick it to the Cowboys.
Oh, no doubt.
Browns, Jarvis Landry. They signed Jarvis Landry to a contract extension. 5-year, $75 million, $47 million guaranteed. Jarvis Landry.
They're making some moves.
They are. Cleveland was your stud of the week last week.
They were the stud, and they keep packing on. They're probably going to win. I mean, I wouldn't say they're going to go 8-8, but.
You know, if you realize if they win two games.
Right. It's pretty solid.
I mean, that's like what percent. Well, actually, you can't assign a percentage because last year their percentage was zero.
Right.
So you really can't assign percentage. So, and I've got a comment about that in my rapid fire section about Jarvis Landry. Mark Sanchez, backup quarterback last year, Chicago Bears, free agent, gets a 4-game ban for PEDs.
Why?
Really? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, really? I mean, did he pull a muscle holding the clipboard last year?
I mean, he's still getting paid. He's still beating us. But
did he pull a muscle holding the clipboard last year for Mitch Trubisky?
I just don't know. What would he need PEDs for in the first place? He ain't doing nothing.
Well, and I think there was a very big mix-up with the PED scandal, and I actually addressed that coming up in rapid fire.
It might have been an estrogen blocker.
Something
he's probably been hitting the weights.
It's something a little more on up Mark Sanchez's line. And as we get to the rapid fire, I'll let you have a little crack at that. So this wouldn't be a week in the NFL without a couple arrests. Reuben Foster, 49ers linebacker, charged with multiple domestic violence and weapon counts. Not just any kind of weapon. It was a freaking assault rifle.
Oh, yeah.
He was really scared for his safety in California in his gated community. he was charged this week in connection to a February arrest. Foster is facing 3 felonies stemming from an alleged attack of his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's done for life. He better go to the CFL.
He can go either go to the CFL or maybe he can go play with Johnny Manziel in that summer football league that he's playing with. I'm sure they need somebody down there. Daryl Worley, former Panther.
Yeah.
DB.
Saw that.
Now, currently with the Eagles, got arrested this morning. Mm-hmm. This is funny, man. I read it. So he got arrested, and not only did the Philadelphia police arrest him, but they tased his ass during the altercation. They found him passed out inside of a vehicle blocking the highway. So I guess evidently he was going to be froggy, and when he was froggy and jumped, they tased his ass.
Fell asleep. I mean, I don't understand. I don't get why they even do it anyway. Every team's got a free shuttle service.
Yeah.
Or someone that'll come pick you up or do whatever you want to do. I just don't understand.
They recovered a gun on the site. Mm-hmm. Didn't say anything about that. All it says was a gun was recovered on the site. But they did tase his ass. Daryl, welcome to Philadelphia. If you were in Charlotte, bud, you wouldn't have got tased. But you're up in Philly, your ass got tased. All right. This is interesting. So, and I'm actually probably going to talk to our special guest about this, kind of go back and hit this. So, the NCAA made a rule change this week. I think this is ludicrous. This is just this dumbing down of football once again. This is the two-hand, you know,
flag football,
like I said last mm-hmm. week, and you know, making you say three Mississippi, you know, before you rush the quarterback.
Right.
On a kickoff now, you will be able to make a fair catch anywhere inside the 25-yard line, and it will result in a touchback. And the football will be placed at the 25-yard line now. So instead of you kicking a very high ball and trying to pin them inside right. the 25-yard line, all they have to do now is call a fair catch.
And you can't hit them.
You can't hit them once they call the fair catch. And if it's on the 1-yard line or the 2-yard line or whatever, you know, right. I guess the rule is normally on a punt it may be a little different, obviously, because it's a live ball for the kickoff. But if it's, you know, inside the 5-yard line, you're going to try to go to the end zone or whatever. But now, if you catch the ball in the air, you can fair catch it, and the ball will automatically come out to the 25-yard line.
Because you're taking away a pretty much a roster spot from a kid that maybe he just gets tackles. That's all he does is sprint as fast as he can and cover, you know, kickoff team. That's all he does, kick, punt, whatever the case may be. You're taking away almost a roster spot from him. Your train of thought. I mean, you're like, all right, we're just going to fair catch everything. We're at least going to get it at the 25. No fumbles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, right. I don't know. I think that's
your strategy changes.
But that is what it is. So anyway, now let's move on. This is why the listeners have been listening up to this point for the last 17 minutes. Last week, we talked about the top 5 high school football players in Onslow County. We had a ton of people submit names. We had a ton of people, you know, just make comments. And we figured the only negative we got about it was y'all didn't talk long enough about it. We didn't talk about the players enough.
Right.
So we're going to take some time today. And we figured if we were going to talk about it, then we'd bring in a subject matter expert. So I am so glad. I like to hear you chuckle. Now you got to get a little closer to the mic now. Mm-hmm. So guys, I just want to introduce everybody to former high school standout football coach with Southwest High School, Phil Padgett. Phil, thank you for being on the show, man.
Appreciate the invitation.
Hey, man, I'm glad you could be here. 4 state championships, 27 years of coaching, 3-time runner-up. Is that right?
That's correct.
Coached a little baseball in his spare time for 10 years. So that's awesome. So let's get at this. I'm just going to throw these names out here to you, and then I've got some questions. So I'm just going to throw them out, and you just make comments about them.
Okay.
Leander Green.
Probably the greatest quarterback ever playing Onslow County, without question.
You played with him?
I played with him. I graduated with Leander. He could play anything, and he's a scratch golfer right now. He's just one of those guys that could play any sport and was the best at it. No question, top 5 athletes of all time in Onslow County. He's right at the top with maybe one or two others.
So the voting was accurate?
No question.
All right.
No question.
Next, Kendrick Burney.
Kendrick Burney's in the same breath as him. I mean, a lot of times you measure by championships. He won 2 state championships as a football player. But the thing about Kendrick was he played free safety. He played cornerback. He played outside linebacker for us. He played split end. He was a running back at some times. And he was a quarterback. He could play any position. Probably could have blocked for us. He was a 4-year starter. The only guy to ever get Gatorade Player of the Year. Athlete of the Year. in North Carolina and from Onslow County. You know what I mean? And he could play any position. And I'll tell you one other fact about him. He started in football, basketball, and baseball as a freshman.
Wow.
So, you know, that to me just tells you what kind of athlete he is.
You know, you and I talked about him this week, and we talked about the strategy. When you have an athlete like that, don't put him at wide receiver. Don't put him at split end or whatever. The ball needs to be in his hands literally every time.
Daggone.
I mean, you remember you and I talked. We talked about another great athlete that's actually going to be on this list a little bit later, and how, in my opinion, he was the best player on his team, and how he was severely underutilized during his senior year. Now he was obviously played defense as well, but when you've got an athlete like that. Trevor told a great story last week about when Southwest and Swansboro played, and how Kendrick looked him in the eyes when he was going by him.
We made eye contact.
You made eye contact. Okay.
That was about it.
Yeah. And his eyes said, "See you later.
I'm gone."
Yeah.
He was a kickoff and punt return guy.
Yeah.
Now, that's the only disadvantage. Well, I say I put him at the top there with Leander, and maybe you could even argue that he might be better. Leander only played offense because he was so valuable to the team. But he'd been a tremendous defensive back, tremendous. But he never played defensive back, never had him back for punt returns, didn't want him to get hurt.
But, you know, that's always been Jacksonville's mode. Well, I mean, when I was in school going to White Oak, it was somewhat disheartening in the fourth quarter when I'd trudge out there first, second, and third periods and be going against one set of linemen on one side, and then I'd stay out there to flip over for defense, and I'd have a fresh set of linemen coming out. I mean – Jacksonville just traditionally does not, in the past, has not played players, and that's because they've had the athletes. Now, that's changed in recent years because of Northside High School.
Right. The depth probably is not there. It has been because Jacksonville, there in the late 70s and early 80s, Jacksonville had 10, 12 kids that were 240, 250, 260 that could all play.
Yeah.
And so you could have a set of offensive and defensive linemen, but things change, and that was called the good old days.
The good old days. Hey, speaking of Jacksonville High School again, Eddie Colson. Didn't coach him, didn't play against him, but you saw him play.
Oh, I saw him play a ton. I was fortunate enough to know his brother really well, Buddy.
Buddy.
He went to East Carolina, but I knew Eddie. Eddie was, to me, and I've coached many really good running backs and was fortunate enough to watch a bunch run, well, unfortunately, run over us. But I would take Eddie Colson over any running back I ever saw in Onslow County. You could not bring him down one-on-one. He was the kind of kid that was benching over 400, you know, powerful, you know, about 220. And all muscle. And you know, he was just a tremendous back. He had good speed, not great speed, but he's also about 230, 240, you know what I mean.
So went to UNC.
And had a great career there.
Had a great career there.
Got injured, and that's the only reason he's probably didn't make an NFL.
I remember going up and watching him play when I was young. My brother was a couple years. My brother used to play football, but also wrestled. And my brother had many wrestling duels with Buddy.
Oh, with Buddy.
With Buddy. Okay. Not Eddie, but Buddy. But
Buddy was a stud too.
Buddy, you know. Buddy was a stud too. But Eddie was.
And let me tell you this: they're his sisters. Oh my gosh! If they'd have been end up being boys, they were all built like they were.
Oh, were they?
Oh, they were daggone good athletes too. But
all right, the last one. And this is, I mean, hell, you say at number four, he's the last one. And we'll talk about a couple more. Marcus Jones.
Yeah, well, Marcus Jones, obviously, to me, is the most athletic lineman that I've ever seen in Onslow County. He was a 4'7 guy. He was benching 440 when he left us. And those guys that are 6'6 with long arms like that benching 440, that's like someone 5'10 benching 550. You know? I mean, he was tremendous. Could do a backflip standing up, landing on his feet. He was just a tremendous athlete. You couldn't run at him. You couldn't run away from him. We played him at fullback sometimes because he was that kind of athlete. But he when he went to Carolina, he was the start of what Mac Brown started recruiting, those 6'6", 240 guys, 250 guys that could run. Mm-hmm. And he was the first of his kind around here. And, of course, he ended up being a number one round pick. But that's irrelevant. In high school, he was as dominant a lineman as there ever has been in this county.
Off the field. Soft-spoken, wore glasses, and loved comic books.
Oh, he was the best. We went down to Tampa years. He got through playing, and he took my kids, and he had his room for video games, and he played with my children, my boys, for hours, and it was just the best time. He was one of the nicest people you ever would ever meet.
Wow, man,
just fantastic.
Let me just go over a couple more, and you can comment on these as much as you want. Then I've got some questions that I want to ask you.
Okay.
Bruce Simmons, Ellis Dillahunt, Doug Banks, Mario Williams, and Deontay Williams. In any order, you could talk about any of them. You could talk about none of them. Talk about
well. I mean, when you're talking about elite athletes in high school, I mean, you know, we there's that fifth place. There's about 50 kids, I think.
Yeah.
You do. Doug Banks, I played against. I was a junior when he was a senior, and he ran over me. I probably got cleat marks to show that. He's a good athlete. Ellis Dillahunt, as you well know, went on ECU, had a great career in the pros. Bruce Simpson was probably the most dominating defensive lineman.
Linebacker. Right, he played around where my brother played, but I remember hearing his name and hearing just what a dominant player Bruce Simpson was.
And let me tell you, we're mentioning him. We got to mention Junior Devane.
Yep.
Junior Devane went to Clemson, was on the national championship team. And let me tell you something. Junior Devane, he was a man among boys in high school. And, of course, at that time, Jacksonville had a run of some. I could go on with Sam Jackson, Craig Sharpless, a bunch of linemen you could mention right there that were – five-star recruits in the nation. You mentioned Mario Williams. He had a good high school career. I think his best football
came
afterwards.
Yeah.
And Deontay, I think his best football came afterwards.
And I'm not going to call out any other coaches. We did that a couple weeks ago, Travis Connor. But, you know, I just felt like when I watched Deontay play, and Deontay is a real good friend of mine now, I just felt like the coaching staff didn't utilize him to the potential that they could have his senior year of high school.
He had no help.
He didn't have any.
I played against him, but he had no help.
Yeah, but if you got the baddest, if you're the baddest man on your team.
He was.
And he was by far the baddest dude on his team. And they had him playing wide receiver, and they threw the ball three times a game.
We just doubled him. We just literally put two guys on him, and they threw jump balls to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to catch them, but at least we tackle him.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to question it just because.
Because the coaching fraternity.
Well, you're right. but I fully believe that a guy, if he's an athlete, get the ball in his hands. And, you know, and with that being said, you know, you got to do what you think is best for your football team. But those were great athletes you mentioned. I mean, we mentioned some others. I mean, I just look back and I think of the first 2,000-yard rusher that I can ever think of, I think was Amp Simmons from Southwest. He was a heck of a running back. And then you turn around.
What year was that, Coach?
He would graduate 82. He's been over the 80 and 81 team. And then you turn around and you forget Dave Dunaway. Then the Green boy from Richlands who played in the Canadian Football League.
David Green. And I'm going to get on a little soapbox there. It's injustice that David Green is not in the Jacksonville Onslow Sports Hall of Fame. We're hoping to right that wrong at some point in time. But David Green was a hell of an athlete from Richlands.
And we're going to mention those. We can't forget Bob Grant.
Played
at Georgetown. Yeah. Played for Baltimore Colts back when they were the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the 60s, early 60s before integration came, but he was a great football player. And, I mean, look, each generation, as I'm older than you guys, but as each generation, I think of the 60s, it's hard to remember a lot of those guys. And you get the 70s, and then a few more remember than the 80s. And, you know, but there's been tremendous athletes throughout the history of Onslow County, that when you say that fifth spot, I mean, if you had to
– literally, there could be 30 or 40 players.
The way and Bob Mills mentioned this to me. He said really one way to do it, if you were list the best offensive linemen, who you think, the best defensive linemen, and you'd have a chance to kind of
– And we're going to come back, Coach. I'm going to have you back, obviously, because we will probably get steak again if Phil comes back.
That'll help.
But when we roll to the fall and we get really into high school and college football, one of your Southwest dudes, Chris Rayner, sent me a list of some questions. Right. And he actually mentioned that. Let's go through at some point in time and list the top five offensive linemen, top five quarterbacks, top five running backs. I mean, we can take that and do that over a couple week, 2 or 3 week period or something like that. So if you're willing to come back and get free steak and food?
I'll be here. What time?
All right. So let's move on. Now, these are just going to be some quick hitters. We have this thing called Rapid Fire where I ask Trevor these questions, and you got to say the first thing that comes to your mind. No, this is going to you.
Yeah.
Fastest player that you ever coached. I just want an explanation.
Dakota Marshall.
The strongest player that you ever coached.
Marcus Jones.
The most intelligent football smarts.
Gosh. Adam Locklear.
Best leader.
Well, Kendrick Burney.
One player that you hated to coach against.
Oh, Deontay Moss.
Deontay Moss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that dude was a stud. Who was the biggest prankster?
Oh, my gosh. My jeez. That's a tough one. Atrick Hudson, probably, who was a great quarterback for me.
Okay. Who had the smelliest feet or the worst hygiene? Be honest.
No, I can't be. I would never put that on the spot. On players.
Okay. Who was most likely to change a play that you sent in?
Donnie Smith.
Donnie Smith, who I know very well.
Smith.
Donnie, I'm going to forward this podcast to you so you can listen to this. So, Coach, thank you so much. Listen, stay right here and comment on anything that you want to comment on. And there you have it. And we're going to have Coach back later as well. Moving on to Major League Baseball, it's the third week. And I wasn't going to have anything about Major League Baseball, but Trevor said he had one stat.
I got one. I got one. It's not much.
Okay.
So the Miami Marlins, I got this actually, Bobby told me about it this morning. I said, man, that'd be great for the podcast. So the Miami Marlins had 6,150 fans at a game last week.
6,000?
6,000.
Not 60,000.
Nope. 6,150. Their AA team, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimps, had 6,960 fans.
Wow.
So 6,150 for the Marlins game and 6,960 for the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, their AA team. That's the only thing I got for baseball.
All right. And as should be, that's the only comments that we're going to make about baseball. So, keeping to my promise to my son that I made last week that we're going to talk more about soccer than we were about baseball, in just pressing soccer news, the Wolverhampton Wanderers sealed their promotion to the English Premier League from the English Championship League this week after a six-year absence. I'm sure everybody has missed them in the English Premier League. And in the Turkish Superior League, Kasımpaşa defeated Karspinbaugh 2-0. And I just pulled that out of the hat. I knew you were going to have one major league trivial stat, so I had to come up with two trivial soccer stats.
Yeah.
So those are the two trivial soccer stats.
Those are pretty trivial. I had no idea what you just said.
Okay, me either. So, Gray, there's the two soccer recaps for you right there. Studs and duds. Who's your stud of the week?
I got the Pelicans as a team. Without Cousins, they're making some noise.
They're crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be good.
My stud, Russell Westbrook. Everybody talks about him padding his stats. I say flat out bullshit. First player in NBA history with back-to-back. He averaged back-to-back triple-doubles for the season. Back-to-back triple-doubles. 2 years in a row, back-to-back triple-doubles. This year he went for 25, 10, and 10.
Yeah, I don't think he's padding his stats when he's scoring 40.
Yeah. So do you know who the other player in history to average a triple-double? Only one other player did it one time.
Oscar Robinson.
The Big O, Oscar Robinson. That is exactly right.
That was a lucky guess.
Well, considering somebody back there was yelling.
I don't know his nickname.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't alive when he was playing.
Oh, okay. Well, neither was I. Dud of the week.
The Marlins. I mean,
simply because of
how many people do you think their stadium holds?
Oh shit, I don't know. Probably 60,000.
36,742, and they only had 6,000 people there.
There's a lot to do in Miami, man. South Beach, you could go to. There's just a ton of things to do. I mean, I think Miami Hurricanes girls field hockey was playing that at the same time.
That probably had more people.
They probably had more people there. My dud of the week, man. The people like this guy, and the more I hear, I just think he's a jerk. Spurs head coach Greg Popovich.
Oh, I saw his interview.
So he's a great coach, but he is just simply put, he's an ass. You know, one thing about the media, they do have this thing, and for listeners, I don't consider what Trevor and I are doing media. This is fun. I mean, so we're not part of the media. Right. I mean, we will ask some hard-hitting questions. Don't get wrong. I mean, I tried to ask Coach who was the smelliest son of a bitch he had been around, but he didn't have that. So, anyway, we're not part of the media. But, granted, the media feels like they've been given this unlimited access. This between-quarter interviews and stuff like that, I think that's crap. I mean, I don't think you should do that. And then, granted, they ask a bunch of dumbass questions. They ask questions like, what went wrong tonight? What do you need to do to win? And when the team shoots 15% from the field, you know, well, obviously we need to make more shots to win. But Pop opened up his interview after the game with, I'm so tired of this when they ask a question. Well, I got news for Pop. Don't worry, it's going to be over soon and you won't have to freaking worry about it.
Right.
Because you're going to get swept 4-0. But he's just a jerk, man.
Just take your butt kicking like
just
a man.
Just take your ass whooping it's and be happen. On. And my advice to Pop, which, you know, I'm going to send him a little email, see if he wants to listen to Two Men and a Six Pack. Okay. Much like you did Dwight Howard yeah. You know, tweeting Dwight or Instagramming Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Pop, if you don't like it, quit, man. And if you don't want to quit, then try to get the rules changed where they don't ask dumbass questions or they don't bother you during the...
I mean, he's been on both sides of it. He's been on the winning side and he's lost before. So, I mean, I don't...
He's kind of got on my nerves.
Quit crying.
Yeah. All right. You ready for rapid fire?
Ready as I'm going
to
be.
All right. After listening to Phil discuss the top five all-time football players in Onslow County, are you more hurt, less hurt, or are you still wanting a recount of the votes?
I still want a recount.
You feel like you've been shafted and not getting...
Damn right.
I mean, you do realize we just went through like a 15-minute conversation with Phil. He mentioned all the great players that play football, and you and I were still not mentioned. I mean, you do realize that, right?
I'm still upset.
So you want a recount?
Yes.
Okay. All right. As a football player at Swansboro High School, how many times in your career did you face a Phil Paget-led football team?
Four.
And what was your record?
Every year.
I'm assuming 0-4. Yeah. So, yes or no? You had a perfect record against Southwest.
Event pretty much undefeated.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
No, defeated. Yeah. Actually, defeated. you had a 1,000% percentage losing record against a Phil Paget-led Southwest football team.
I would agree.
Okay. This is a great question here. NBA playoffs. If you were starting a new NBA franchise, who would you start it with? Anthony DeBrow Davis, Ben Fresh Prince Simmons, Carl Anthony Catman Towns, or Giannis the Greek Freak, however the hell you say his last name.
The Greek Freak, I'd start with him.
He's bad, he's bad.
I think he's awesome.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he's good.
If he keeps, and the thing about him, he's getting better and better every year. He goes and finds what he needs to work on. And like last year, he's still working on his outside shot. But dude, he is a man.
He didn't grow up playing basketball either. No. So
I'm sure he grew up, what, making pitas or something?
Being tall.
I mean, yeah, just being tall. Okay. Yeah. So, nicknames. I just gave you a bunch of players with nicknames. I'm going to give you a nickname, and you need to tell me who it is.
Okay.
The Big Aristotle. These are all NBA players. The Big
Aristotle. That's already a nickname?
This is not current players. This could be past players as well. The Big Aristotle.
George Mearson.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Damn.
The Round Mound of Rebound.
Charles Barkley.
Larry Legend.
Larry Bird.
Big Game James.
Is it LeBron James?
No. James Worthy. Man, you didn't know.
Oh, man.
This is a great one here. Maple Jordan. This is a hard one, actually.
I have no idea.
Andrew Wiggins for the Timberwolves. He's from Canada, his nickname is Maple Jordan. The Big O. We just talked about that. The Big O. Who was that?
Oscar Robinson.
All right. Kmart.
It's not Carl Anthony Towns, is it?
Nope. Kenyon Martin.
Cincinnati. Knew that.
Evil Knievel. You're not going to get this because I made it up.
Oh, damn.
Jay Williams from Duke. This nickname, peaked in college. You're not going to get
Grayson
this.
Grayson Allen.
Christian Laettner.
Oh.
The Ophers. There's three of these. The Ophers.
Duval
Bagley and Trent Jr.
They're
the Ophers.
Ophers.
And of course, you might get this one, Bitch Boy.
Grayson Allen.
All right. If you had a nickname in the NBA, Trevor, what would it be?
The Hammer.
The Hammer.
Yeah.
If you had the ball around the rim and was 7 foot tall and 265.
Like Dwight Howard?
Yeah. Would you lay it up or would you dunk?
I'd dunk the piss out of it.
Would you try to rip the rim down?
I would.
Okay. All right. I just had to get that out. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy is Odell Beckham Jr. that his good friend Jarvis Landry signed a massive contract extension with the Browns? How happy is he?
I mean, because he's going to get something bigger and better.
How happy is he on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, he's an 11.
11.
Yeah.
True or false, Odell Beckham Jr. will sign a contract next year for $100 million and then promptly start dating one of the Kardashian women?
It's a possibility. I'm going to go with true.
True. I mean, I would definitely go with true. I mean, once I find out that, you know, $100 million.
That's good money.
That's good money. Okay. We talked about Mark Sanchez earlier.
Okay.
Mark Sanchez is known as a ladies' man in NFL circles. Mm-hmm. Past girlfriends have included models Kate Moss and Hillary Rhoda, and he's also dated actress Eva Longoria, and supposedly he dates every hot barista at any Starbucks he goes in. I just made that up. So anyway, true false. Mark Sanchez's recent PED troubles were a mistake. True false. He was actually taking some male enhancement medication to help with those special romantic nights.
Is that illegal?
I'm just asking for a true false statement, boo. Do you think that's true or false?
I mean, there's a lot of Starbucks. They're probably true.
True. Okay, next question. Have you or anyone that lives in this house, currently or in the past, taking any such medication to help with those special nights?
Not that I'm aware of. False.
Okay. If you signed a $100 million contract and had the nickname Greek Freak, would you take some male enhancement medication to help with those special romantic nights? $100 million contract, Greek Freak.
Don't need them.
Okay. Good answer. Quickly switching gears, I've got a couple Jeopardy questions for you. And so with Jeopardy questions, how do you need to answer them?
What is
in the form of a question? Okay. The only sign of intelligent life in this town is an actual road sign that reads Chapel Hill, 8 miles. That's an easy one, dude.
What
is Durham? What is Durham?
Never.
You don't get that? Durham is 8 miles from Chapel Hill. The only sign of intelligent, life in Durham is that sign. Next Jeopardy question. If you have ever seen someone just randomly fall over, odds are it was this former NCAA player who tripped them.
Who is Grayson Allen?
That is correct. Now that you've mentioned bitch boy Grayson Allen, true false. ESPN was set to air a 30 for 30 special next month on I Hate Grayson Allen, but they had to pull it off the table and expand the program to a 12-week miniseries to accommodate all the material and guests that wanted to contribute.
100% true.
Trevor, that's it, man. Good show?
Great show.
Hey, we hope you listen. Thanks for listening. If you are listening, Two Men in a Six Pack, like us on Facebook, love us on Instagram, follow us, rate us, review us, soundcloud.com or iTunes. Just do a search for Two Men and a Six Pack. Till next week.